The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of covenant, and then we'll talk about why the blood of covenant means death. Overview of the program. This broadcast examines covenant in some detail. We note that covenant is a promise or agreement. It is pointed out that there is a penalty for breaking covenant and that the blood of the covenant means death to those who break covenant. It is stressed that the taking and giving of virginity is a covenant act and that male ejaculation in the vagina is also a covenant act. It is noted that the Court of Heaven is very strict with regard to breach of covenant. Listeners are advised not to enter into covenant lightly and that casual sex is damaging. We then consider in more detail that the blood of the covenant means death on breach. It is noted that the term covenant is widely used and little understood. It is stressed that without blood there is no covenant, and there is a death penalty for breaking covenant. Reference is made to the covenant between Abraham and Yah, and the blood on the doorposts and lintels in Egypt is discussed, and it is noted that the blood of Yahushua carries a more severe judgment. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with Yah. That's endtimeissueministries.org, endtime issue ministries, one word. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, that's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Look to click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. There's a weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Time, USA time. That's 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time on Zoom. My Zoom account number is 703-237-1115. I say again, 703-237-1115, and the passcode is 123484. Say again, 123484. So we're going to talk now about the essence of covenant in terms of Yah's approach. In several recent articles, I've made reference to covenant in the context of sexual congruence between man and woman. In this article, I will explain a bit more about what I'm referring to, as I understand it, based on an awareness of covenant going back some decades and based on practical experience. Following are the key points, followed by a copy of an article written in 2011 on the blood of any covenant means death to those who break it, as published on the website under the covenant menu item. The child article is the child webpage is the blood means death, which remains relevant today. Encyclopedia Britannica, in an article on covenant, provides a very detailed analysis of covenant in the context of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. See Mendenhall, George Emery, Covenant, Encyclopedia Britannica, 13th of July, 2012. Look on the website www.britannica.com/topic/covenant-religion. That's www.britannica.com/topic/covenant-religion. The interpretation of early life on earth is colored by wrong understanding of covenant, but the basic article establishes the antiquity of the concept of covenant. So what I'm saying there is there's a lot of wrong thinking about so-called early civilization. We were created by the Almighty with advanced abilities, and we've degraded ever since. The most fundamental covenant statement is at Deuteronomy in the Bible, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, Yah the eternally self-existing, you may incorrectly know that as the Lord, is our mighty one, which is incorrectly typically translated God. Yah the eternally self-existing is one. You shall love Yah the eternally existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. This article headlines the critical considerations with regard to covenant, and the legacy article at the end goes into more detail. Folks, bit off topic, but that is so important. Love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, and also Yah is one. It's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's Yah, the eternally self-existing, and the man, Yahushua, and the portion of the Spirit of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, that he puts into believers, the so-called Holy Spirit. So let's look at covenant. A covenant is a promise or agreement. From Google, we find that a covenant is a promise or agreement under consideration, usually under seal or guarantee between two parties. And the seal or symbol of guarantee is that which distinguishes covenant from modern contract. In the context of this article in 2014, I wrote, quote, covenant relates to the fundamental contractual relationship between Yah and mankind and between human beings. A covenant is a robust contract that contains benefits to either party if the covenant is honored and penalties for the party that breaks the covenant. It is not possible to fully understand Yah or understand what Yahushua achieved or understand marriage or commerce if you do not understand covenant. The most robust form of covenant involves blood as a form of oath associated with death if the covenant is broken. The satanic forces understand covenant very well and use it highly effectively to control their followers and also to trap believers. See the page on covenant on the website. Folks, I want to stress here, you should not be taking blood oaths with anybody. You may enter into a blood covenant with a virgin, if you're a man, by taking her virginity or by rehearsing the covenant with the blood, the bread and wine, but you should not, other than that, be entering into blood covenants with anyone. And if you go and join some club or society or whatever, and they ask you to enter into a covenant, an agreement, an oath, by drinking blood, run a mile. It's not from Yah. Point number two, the penalty for breaking covenant. As is established clearly in the article that follows this article, there is a penalty associated with breaking covenant, for breaking one's word. This distinguishes covenant from promises and vows. Thirdly, the blood of the covenant, including communion, means death. In particular, as discussed below in detail, if the covenant involves blood, whether the blood of a sacrificial animal, the blood of a virgin, male semen, which contains the elements of blood, or taking the wine of the covenant of Yeshua, communion, there is inherently a death penalty, although in the current age, due to the level of error and deception, there is generally grace for this, although the death penalty may be invoked at judgment, leading to time in hell if the breach is not repented of and appropriately resolved in this life. Folks, there's a big wrong thinking in Christianity that Jesus died so that we could live in grace and we could be sloppy with sin. It's just not true. The man Yeshua died a terrible, agonizing death in order to provide a sacrifice, an offering for the forgiveness of sin. If you do not avail yourself of that offering in this life, you are going to face a really nasty experience when you come before the judgment seat and you're condemned to go to hell to pay the price in torment for all your unrepented sins. You really, really, really need to deal with your sin in this life. Then the taking and giving of virginity is a covenant act. As noted above and previously and below, the shedding of blood associated with first intercourse in sexual consummation represents the blood of a covenant. This covenant locks in whatever may have been agreed between the man and the woman, whatever is implicit in their relationship, and unless explicitly excluded, the default terms of the virgin's covenant. See Essence of Message Re-Virgin's Covenant on the website. Promises given and received in a marriage ceremony before first intercourse are also locked in by first intercourse. All promises given and received and sealed by taking communion are also locked in with the court of heaven. It's important to understand this, folks. Unplanned sexual intercourse is potentially highly risky. It opens you up to agreeing to things that you would never have agreed to otherwise. So if a man and woman have sex and she's a virgin, either a true virgin or a widow, or has been divorced and approved in the court of heaven and cleaned up, if you have sex and the man is having sex with another woman at the in parallel with that, do not expect your man to be monogamously faithful to you, because you have unwittingly committed to being in a shared relationship. And anything else that you may or may not have agreed to, anything else you may or may not like about your partner, if the partner drinks and gets drunk before you covenant, they will continue to drink and get drunk afterwards, no matter what they promise, because that's the covenant. In point number five, male ejaculation in the vagina is a covenant act. Since the semen of the male contains both salt and the elements of blood, male ejaculation in the vagina is a covenant act, and first intercourse where there is no hymen is still a covenant act. So sexual intercourse with a woman who is a real virgin, a widow, or truly divorced introduces an automatic covenant based on the terms referred to above. At some level, telephone sex between believers where the woman is a, quote, virgin, as above, has covenant implications. A weak one-flesh bond is formed with remote telephone or similar sex. Folks, this is so important to understand. I've broadcast a further article in the next week or two entitled that remote sex is still sex. These are things that I've only really come to realize quite recently. It's easy to think, well, I didn't actually touch her, she didn't touch me, we were halfway around the planet. It's still sex, it's still lovemaking, there's still an ejaculation of spirit. A one-flesh bond comes into existence, no matter how weak, and depending on what you say around the whole thing, you may enter into marriage with remote sex. Scary stuff. Scary stuff, and you could be locked in for life, and you've got to make the best of it because you're not likely to get out of it. Then, and this builds on the previous point, the court of heaven is very strict with regard to breach. It is vital to understand that the court of heaven, in other words, Yah as judge of all creation, is very strict concerning breach of covenant. Where there is explicit and manifest breach and every attempt has been made to reconcile, the severance of the covenant, divorce, will be readily granted. Where there is not manifest breach, then asking for severance, divorce, is futile. It will not be granted. In particular, see the articles 2022-01-01, The Implications of Careless Sexual Activity and Resulting One-Flesh Bonds, at Implications of Careless Sexual Activity on the website, and 2022-01-02, Unrighteous Divorce is Treachery, also on the website under Unrighteous Divorce is Treachery for case studies, where divorce was not granted and the damage caused by unrighteous attempts at divorce. I can't stress this enough. Don't enter into covenant unless you are very clear what you're doing, unless you fully understand the consequences of what you're doing, and unless you are fully prepared to walk out those consequences. By implication, that means if you're going to make love to a woman or a man for the first time, sit down for hours and spell out what you each believe, what you're going for, what your expectations are, your view of marriage, your view of how things are going to be when you covenant together, and be willing to commit to those things and walk out those things, because otherwise you're going to get a nasty shock one day when you discover that you're in breach of covenant and maybe you're locked in and you can't get out with something that you really didn't want. Then do not enter into covenant lightly. The bottom line is that one should not enter into covenant lightly. Be absolutely certain about what you're doing. You're not going to get out of it easily, and generally you will not get out of a covenant without significant loss and pain. I want to stress that casual sex is massively damaging to a believer. Elaborating on the previous point, casual sex on the part of believers is massively damaging and should be avoided at all costs. Once you've consummated, you're locked in for life, barring gross breach by one of the parties, in which case that party will potentially suffer major loss. So in conclusion, I hope that this has clarified the situation with regard to covenant. Please read the article that follows and or listen to the article that follows, the section of the broadcast that follows, and be very careful about how you enter into agreements and covenants going forward. A couple of weeks ago, I broadcast on the risks of casual sex. There's a case there of a man who had a relationship with a woman. They got divorced. The divorce was granted. They had a big love bond. He got married to someone else. Marriage wasn't working too well. He went to visit the ex-wife. And one thing led to another. They ended up making love, entered into a covenant, entered into a one-flesh bond. She wasn't living with him. She didn't want to share. She was in disagreement with him. And for the next 10 years, he suffered financially until he finally understood what was happening. And there's all sorts of complications there that I won't go into now. But just, folks, be really careful. So the next part of this program is the blood of any covenant means death to those who break it. Believers refer constantly to the concept of covenant, if in no other way than referring to the new covenant through Yeshua, Jesus. The term covenant is widely used and little understood. The term is widely used and little understood. People make promises and call them covenants and break them wholesale without giving thought to what they're doing. In the following sections, I will outline the true significance of a covenant. But this is so important. If you go back 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, people understood this. They would consummate a covenant between two people by taking an animal, killing it, splitting it down the middle, laying the two halves of the animal skin side down with the bloody innards facing upwards. And they would then walk in the blood between the two halves of the animal. And everybody understood that the reason they were doing that was that if the one party broke covenant, the other party would be entitled to kill them. Now, in today's world, that's absolutely antithesis of what we practice and what we believe. But back then it was understood. So people didn't enter into covenants very frequently. If you read the so-called Old Testament, you'll find a few examples of people walking in the blood of the animal that had been dissolved. Not something that people did every day, but if you have sex with a virgin, you're doing that. So without blood, there is no covenant. The blood means death if you break the covenant. In the Bible, Protestant Bible, Hebrews 9:18-22, so even the first covenant was not inaugurated and ratified and put in force without the shedding of blood. For when every command of the Torah, the law, had been read out by Moshe, Moses, to all the people, he took the blood of slain calves and goats, together with water and scarlet wool, and with a bunch of hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book, the roll of the Torah, the law, and the covenant, and itself and all the people, saying these words, "This is the blood that seals and ratifies the covenant, which Yah commanded me to deliver to you." and that's referring to Exodus 24, verses 6 to 8. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the sacred vessels and appliances used in divine worship. And in fact, under the Torah, almost everything is purified by means of blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is neither release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishment for sins. It's taken from the Amplified Bible with some emendation. Another name of a blood covenant is a blood oath. The symbolism of the blood is simple. If you break this covenant, you will die. In covenants between human beings, this simply meant that if one party broke the covenant, it was the right and obligation of the other party to kill the offending party. That's simple. Our society doesn't allow that today. That remains the meaning of covenant today. That was why Yeshua had to die such a brutal death and shed his blood to take our place because of our sins. It's really important to understand that. There's no magic in the blood of Yeshua. He was complying with a legal requirement. Let's talk about Abraham and Yah in the Old Testament in Genesis 15, the furnace and circumcision. In Genesis 15, we read of Yah entering into covenant with Abraham, whom he renamed Abraham. Abraham slaughtered some animals, and the spirit of Yah walked between the halves of the animals in the blood in order to consummate the covenant. Cutting an animal in two and walking between the halves was a common way of cutting covenant in those days. Refer also to Jeremiah 34, that's Yirmiyahu is the correct translation there, meaning whom Yah has appointed. Part of the symbolism was, if you break this covenant, I will slaughter you like this animal. Subsequently, Yah made a further covenant with Abram, and this required also the shedding of blood through circumcision. You may listen to me and think that's barbaric. I would urge you to step back and consider the possibility that there's some things that we regard as standard today that maybe weren't standard 4, 5, 6,000 years ago. People didn't enter into covenant lightly. So the chances of having to kill the other party were very, very small. And if they did break covenant in a significant way, that could easily end up in an outright war. And you see some of this still manifesting in the Middle East and the Near East, but I'm not going to go there now. Then let's talk about the blood and the doorposts and the lintels in Egypt. Before Yah brought Israel out of Egypt, they slaughtered a lamb and painted the doorposts and lintels of their houses with the blood. That's Exodus 12. Without the blood of the covenant, the messenger or angel of death slaughtered the firstborn of Egypt. So each family unit slaughtered a lamb. They drained out the blood. They put it in a bowl. They took some hyssop and scarlet wool, and they painted it on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses, so that when the messenger of death, the angel of death, went through Egypt killing the firstborn, the messenger passed by those houses with the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. Even today, you can pray protection over yourself, over your house, by taking communion, the bread and wine, or red grape juice, red wine or red grape juice, and praying over it to represent the blood of the covenant, and then dipping your finger in it and applying it to the doorposts and the lintels of your house, and praying for Father to protect you. Father, I ask you, as I apply this blood, cover me with the blood, cover my family with the blood, cover the house with the blood. If you do that, it is very difficult for the forces of darkness to touch you or your family within that house. Of course, if you've got sin in your house, that overrides it, And then you give the forces of darkness the legal right to attack you. So you've got to get to a place where you live without sin. Then the blood of Yeshua and a more severe judgment. Yeshua came to fulfill the promises made through the covenant in Egypt and the covenant at Sinai. And as discussed in a recent article, his blood was shed to enter into a new covenant and in order to usher in a new offering for atonement and a new priesthood, amongst other things. The Yehudites, the Jews, called down the blood of Yeshua on themselves and their children, and that also contributed to the new covenant. One of the great deceptions of this age is that believers think they can be casual in sin because of grace, when the book, the Bible, is full of accounts of judgment on those under the covenant made through Moshe. How much more severe is the judgment on those who sin willfully under the covenant of Yahushua and cause him to be executed again and put to shame? Refer to Hebrews 6 in the Bible. Again, we see death for breaking covenant. In this case, the second death, torment in hell, Revelation 21:8. And you may say that's gross, that's cruel, it's... Folks, the way we look at things today is a little bit off the mark. Think back. Yeshua came to make a new offering for sin, for forgiveness of sin. He was flogged, ribbons of flesh torn off his back, crown of thorns rammed into his head, nails driven through his hands and feet, side pierced with a spear, agonizing death, to shed his blood so that your sins could be forgiven. And then you take that casually and you think it's a bad deal if things go wrong in your life and you get before the judgment seat and you go to hell for years because of your unrepented sin. It's justice, folks. Then the blood of the virgin and all that goes with it, now to another dimension. Deuteronomy 22:15 refers to the tokens of a woman's virginity presented as evidence that she was a virgin on the night of consummation of her covenant with her man, in other words, marriage in those days. This token was a linen cloth which was used to mop up the blood that was shed when the woman gave her virginity to her man, an irreversible covenant act. Insofar as the cloth was presented by the girl's parents, it is apparent that they witnessed the act of consummation, or the immediate aftermath at least. We see in Deuteronomy 22 that breaking of this covenant carries the death penalty. Thus, in the sight of Yah, there is blood covenant cut in the blood of the virgin when she consummates with her man, who cuts into her cleft. Refer to Genesis 2:24. The form of the woman's sexual organ approximates the two halves of the animal cut in two, and so the man walks in the blood of the covenant when they consummate. If the woman is legitimately not a physical virgin, you should take the bread and wine of the covenant and apply a small amount of the wine to the woman's vulva immediately after first penetration and pray appropriately. If you've never done this, it's recommended that you should do this in order to sanctify your covenant. Folks, we're so awkward about talking about the fundamentals of sex, and we don't see sex as something beautiful, something that Yah created for pleasure and for procreation and for covenant. You need to understand that. Thus, there's no such thing as sex before marriage. There is only consummation of a covenant with or without public knowledge or adultery. It is also so that a woman can give her virginity only once, and that a man can cut covenant with more than one woman. And it is therefore so that Yah intended from the beginning for more than one woman to cut covenant with one man. This is why there are so many more believing women than men in the body of true believers. Refer to Isaiah 4:1 in the Bible. Sadly, modern westernized women do not understand this and are programmed to become extremely threatened and aggressive if their man even considers cutting covenant with more than one woman or actually does it. Sexual lovemaking is a highly sacred act. Refer to Ephesians 5, the last few verses. The sexual connection between man and woman is more complex. Whether the woman is a virgin or not, there is an exchange of body fluids which contain salt, resulting in a salt covenant, and the male semen contains the elements of blood, so it ends up being a blood covenant as well. This thing about the church talking about sex before marriage just illustrates how far the sex has deviated, the church has deviated from the truth. And it's also important to understand that if you have sex and take virginity, you are entering into a lifetime commitment. That needs to be explained to children when they come of age, the age of puberty, 13, 14, thereabouts, when they become sexually aware, sexually active. They need to understand that they should not go out there and have sex with whoever. They need to wait for a properly chosen partner. On orgasm, there is a formation of a one-flesh bond, spirit to spirit, in which the man ejaculates a portion of his spirit into or onto the woman, and the woman ejaculates a portion of her spirit onto the man. There is a soul-to-soul emotional tie formed. Love is created. That is why it is called lovemaking. There is intense pleasure. Children are fathered through a clean bloodline. Casual and promiscuous sex is a total abomination in the sight of Yah, unless you stay together forever. And promiscuous sex just doesn't work. It's an abomination. It's adultery. You will spend time in hell if you don't stop it and repent. Sex is designed to be limited only to sanctified relationships between a woman and man who covenant to one another for life, with only death or total betrayal of the covenant to separate them. Sex is designed to be an ongoing rehearsal of the marriage covenant and a source of great pleasure that increases the strength of the ties between the man and woman over time. Folks, I just want to make an aside here. If you're an unbeliever, none of this applies to you. These things happen. You will get the one flesh bond, the love bond, the soul ties, etc. But so what? You're not serving Father. He doesn't give a hoot what you do. I'm sorry to say it, but he really is not interested in what you do. This is only relevant. All of what I've been talking about here is only relevant if you're a committed believer who's seeking to serve the Almighty, seeking to draw close to Him. So if you don't believe right now, I suggest that maybe this is as good a time as any to pray and say, Father, help me to know You. So the bread and wine, is it magic? Coming back to Yeshua, there are all sorts of writings that attribute magical properties to the blood of Yeshua. These are not valid. The blood carries a simple legal significance. It is a reminder of the covenant, and in the case of the covenant, through Yeshua, this includes protection, deliverance, salvation, provision, healing, etc., etc. The blood simply constitutes a no-entry sign to the forces of darkness, but it is corrupted and rendered of no effect if there is sin in your life. The blood is set apart or holy, and you break the covenant if you sin. It is vital to keep your side clean and constantly seek to be cleansed of unintentional sin and to be warned of sin you're not aware of. If you are covenant-minded, you will be blessed by a brother or sister in the faith who warns you that they think you may be in sin. So easily get offended when somebody tells you that you're in sin. It's also so easy to get offended when you think somebody is in sin and you have to correct them. It's a huge challenge there as to how you tell somebody that you think they're in sin in a way that they can receive and do something about it. Coming back to the bread and wine of the covenant, you can take the communion, take the cup, pray over it and say, Father, I ask that this cup represents the blood of the covenant. Dip your finger in it, apply a dab to your forehead, dab to the back of your neck, to the right earlobe, to the right eyebrow, to the tongue, to the right thumb, the right big toe. Pray appropriately. The prayers are on the website. And cover yourself with the blood. Cover yourself. Protect yourself from evil. In conclusion, covenant is simple and powerful once you understand how it works. Do not take covenant lightly. Do not consummate sexually with a woman unless you are certain it is the will of Yah and you are both prepared to discharge your responsibilities in terms of Yah's standard covenant terms. Man, love your woman as Yeshua loved the body of believers and gave his life for them. Even though they flogged him, they beat him, they tortured him, they executed him. Man, love your woman as Yeshua loved the body of believers and gave his life for them. Woman, love your man and submit to him in everything, in the way that Yeshua submitted to those who unjustly beat him, tortured him, and put him to death. So do not consummate unless you're sure it's the right person, unless you've prayed about it, and Father has clearly said, this is a suitable spouse. You are making a commitment for life. I didn't understand that when I first got married. I don't think my parents understood it. I don't think that the pastor understood it. In fact, I don't think that anybody at my wedding in 1978 understood it. And it was a mess from the beginning. I should never have married that woman. If I'd understood these things more perfectly, I would have run a mile early on. Help your children, particularly if you've got children who are not yet sexually active. Share this with them. Explain to them in a non-threatening, non-judgmental way. If they're believers, if they're not believers, it really doesn't matter. You've got a bigger problem. Rehearse the covenant of Yeshua by partaking of the bread and wine, grape juice, red grape juice or red wine, on a regular basis. This is a solemn and sober moment. Apply the blood where it is necessary to declare a no-go area for the forces of darkness, yourself, your house, your possessions, etc. It assumes that you do not have sin that nullifies the legal authority of the covenant, as evidenced by the blood as a signpost or marker. Right now, Yah is cleaning us all to clean up our acts. So to take communion, Father, I recall that on the night that he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread and broke it and gave it to those who followed him and said, take, eat ye all of this. This is my body given for you. He then took the cup and said, this is my cup of the new covenant shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it of me. Take the cup, pray, Father, I ask you to forgive me all that I've done that I should not have done and all that I've not done that I should have done. And I ask you to bring to my remembrance anything that I've done that I need to confess and repent of. And then watch out for those things coming and flashing up and deal with them. You can apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintels, Father, I ask you to, as I anoint the doorpost and the lintels with the blood, I ask you to cover my house and myself and all that I own with the blood of the covenant. But you've got to get free of sin. You are taking a chance if you do these things and you're not dealing with your sin. Father expects you to live free of sin. It's entirely doable. It's entirely possible. There's a teaching on the website about it, and I've taught about it on this program on previous occasions. So in wrapping up, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, a couple of points here. Number one, It doesn't matter who you are, your age, your gender, your wealth or lack of it, your education or lack of it, the color of your skin, your nation, your tribe, your race. Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. That's why he created the universe. That's why he created this planet. That's why he created human beings, was to be his friends, to do things together. The fact that things have happened and we've got black people and white people and so forth, and we've got tall people and short people and all the rest of it, is immaterial to him. He wants a relationship with you. If you do not have a deep personal relationship with you at the point that you have clearly, unambiguously heard him call you friend, then you've missed the bus. You've missed the point of your whole life. And I really urge you to get that and run with it. I can help you. Talk to me. On the main menu of the website, important articles, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Depending where you are in the world, you may not be able to access that podcasts page. Otherwise, search in Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, and you'll find a number of podcast websites that have all of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. I provide weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Time, USA Time, 3:30 p.m. UK Time, 5:30 p.m. South African Time on Zoom. Go to zoom.us. My account is 703-237-1115. I say again, 703-237-1115. Passcode 123484. 123484. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are some way down the right-hand sidebar. The article keyword cloud, look at the page which says keyword cloud towards the bottom of the menu, and the table of contents also towards the bottom of the menu. Google search is Google functionality, very effective for finding things on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yahushua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, as I was saying a few minutes ago, we were created to be friends of the Almighty. We were created to do things with him. We were created to talk to him, have conversations with him, involve him in our day-to-day activities, whether it be our work, our business, our family. He wants to be part of everything you do. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to coach you. He wants to give you advice. He wants to tell you things that you don't know so that you can be more effective. and it's there for you. You've just got to ask him for it. It's that simple. Father, yeah, I want to know you the way James Robertson knows you. Please help me. That's what you have to pray. Folks, thanks so much. Good night. Father.